Reminder, we have a business quarterly meeting, meeting after the second section. Well, before the break, we were looking at the issue of being spiritually alert. And we have developed everything that's necessary to apply it. And one of the things that we did deal with before break is the areas that we should be concerned when it comes to being alert spiritually. Well, the first one we dealt with is devotion to the Word of God. And we expanded on that. All that's how you may be distracted by the enemy or do everything to keep you from learning the Word. The second thing we mentioned was false teachers. So that the believer should be careful about what he or she listens to. Or who are, because there are so many who do not want to teach the truth, but just to make people feel good. Or those who clearly ignore preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The third, which is where we stop really, though, it has to do with the lifestyle. That's what we as believers have to be very alert. And in dealing with this, I said there are, you know, as much as the apostle would not want to go into all the details about all he's been teaching, that has to do with the lifestyle of the believer. Remember that the whole thing is being showing yourself since chapter 4, showing yourself proving that you're a Christian by the way you live, and whether at work, at home, or whoever you interact with, that you come across as a genuine Christian. Now, so that is not what we are focusing on. So we said that we're going to focus, when we come to this lifestyle, that there are two things the Lord mentioned that we should be very careful about. And that's what we started to focus on, which have to do, in this case, it has to do with what one consumes that affects the mind and worrying. Those are the two. And that's what we're going to expand now. From Luke chapter 21, verse 34. It is, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will come close on you unexpectedly like a trap. So the first aspect of the lifestyle that is concerned with anything that affects the mind is given in that instruction, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness. Now, on a surface reading, it appears that the Lord is concerned only with drunkenness. But there is more to what our Lord says. He is concerned with anything that alters the mind or personality of a person, not only alcohol. He is concerned with that. But it is true, though, that alcoholic beverages taken in excess affect the person's mind and personality. But that is not the only thing that affects a person's mind in our time. See, we have to contemporize these things. Now, we use the word mind because the word heart in the instruction of Jesus Christ is not a reference to the physical heart. Heart in the scripture is usually used in such things as intellect, memory, emotions, desires, and will. So it could be any of those when you say the word heart. Of course, unless the context shows otherwise. Of course, our personality, though, is a function of many different aspects of our being, including our thinking, remembering, feeling, desiring, and willing. All of this go into making our personality. Now, in Luke 21:34, the sense of the word heart is definitely the mind. Thus, Jesus cautioned
that the mind should not be dulled by the use of wine or alcohol. Now, this is because he wants the believer to have full possession of their mental faculties as they function on this planet. He wants us to do that. Like I've said to you many times, some, not all, some in the war front, they die easily or get wounded easily because they're not functioning in the right mind. Some of them are doped up. Intentionally given to them, so they go in with no fear and therefore do not take the necessary precaution that they need to while in the battlefield. Now, so all I'm saying is wine, though, is the primary substance that robbed individuals of their mental alertness in the ancient world. Now, remember now, what they had in most cases is really something coming from fermented corn and other ways, but their wine is not the same as what we have today. Well, because distillation didn't start until recently through the Arabs. But in the time of the Bible, there was no distillation. So you didn't have all this, what they call hard liquor, whatever they call it. Anyway, since the concern, though, of the caution of Jesus is the robbing of mental acuteness, then it becomes important we contemporize Jesus' warning. In other words, make it relevant to our time. That's the principle, which is dullness of the mind. So how do we make it relevant to our time? That is the issue. So then, this means that a believer should be cautious with respect to anything that has the potential of altering the mind or personality. Today, this comes not only from abuse of alcohol, but also from the use of illegal drugs. It is because of this contemporizing of Jesus' warning to the disciples that we asserted the first type of thing regarding lifestyle that Jesus was concerned is related to anything that affects the mind or personality through what one consumes. Now, if a believer is going to be successful in the spiritual warfare, such an individual should be alert to recognize when the person is involved in anything that can alter the mind or personality. Anything. So that's the general principle. Anything. Don't limit it to, maybe wine or drink, whatever. Anything that can do that. Whatever that will do that for you, then that's where the warning goes. So then, you see a person whose mind is controlled by anything that alters the individual's thinking ability could not possibly be filled of the Spirit. That much we know. Because if you don't have your full alertness, this Spirit can control you. Now, this we can understand from the fact Apostle Paul presents being drunk as opposite of being filled of the Spirit in Ephesians 5, verse 18 that we studied in detail. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5:18 reads, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." So being vigilant in the spiritual life requires that a believer should be careful with what he or she consumes that has the potential of affecting the mind so that being filled of the Spirit becomes impossible. Now, again, what we're learning is the principle. Because sometimes, when I see this kind of thing, I'm reminded of a story they told me once I first got here, almost 44 years ago. How true it is, I don't know. But this is what they told me. This is what makes me aware that you live get the principle. Not necessarily sometimes the details. Because they were telling me something I've told you here before of a preacher who in those, I don't know whether it's in the 40s or 50s, whatever, what time, when people were still going to cinemas and in movies and all that, and the preachers were all bouncing on that, that this preacher was up there and said, and all of you who on Saturday night, you go to those cinemas or movies, you're going to die, you go to hell. And that there was this man, he said, yeah, go on, preacher. And then he said, and all of you who drink and you go to die, you go to hell. And he's going to go on. And he said, and all of you who smoke, you're going to die, go to hell. He said, go on, preacher. And then the preacher said, and those of you who dip. And he said, oh, now he's meddling. In other words, he's got to his own area. So I don't want you to get away with that kind of mentality. Unless we mention your own little area. Everything is the principle, the principle. And then you can apply it to whatever you apply it. So here it is. Yes, anything that can alter your mind or your personality. So as we have said, though, this no doubt includes being sure that no one is not only drunk, but that's not all. A believer should be careful of legally prescribed medication to ensure that he or she does not become addicted to any prescription drug, as that also can affect a person's mind. Anyway, the second aspect, that's the first aspect, anything. I can list all that can affect your mind. You should know whatever affects people's mind. So anyway, the second aspect of lifestyle that our Lord is concerned that affects the believer's mind or thought is a very simple thing. Worrying. Very simple. Worrying. But it's a very simple concept, but it's a loaded one that affects all of us here. For a human being, it attacks you. But just how you deal with it. Now, it is this that is given in the phrasing of where we're looking at in Luke 21, verse 34, when it says, the anxieties of life. Anxieties of life. Now, this phrase is still connected with the verbal phrase when it says, weigh down. Of this Luke 21:34. In effect, we should understand the second type of lifestyle involves being weighed down with the anxieties of life. Satan loves to get a believer to worry. He loves that. So that such an individual will be ineffective in the spiritual warfare. Since worrying is an expression of lack of faith in the Lord. So the devil loves that. So Satan is delighted when a believer does not trust God. He loves that. We want you to worry. So you can put material things above God in order to get into idolatry. So he likes that. So if you want to hold your ground in the spiritual warfare, you should ensure that you are not worrying about anything on this planet. Anything. Now, instead of being weighed down by anxieties of this life, the believer should turn over that anxiety to the Lord in faith, as the Holy Spirit commands through the pen of Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He reads, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So, if we cannot live a worry-free life, this command will not have an issue. God expects you and I to live a worry-free life. Because when you don't live it, you act in ways that are irrational spiritually. You do things that just don't make sense on a spiritual level. Not to talk about the fact that you're destroying your body. You're just running your body down by worry. So that is something that the enemy loves. Because anytime I'm worrying, that means I'm focusing on myself now. I'm not thinking about the God who put me on this planet and who have promised to take care of me while I'm on this planet. So if I worry, that's what I'm doing. I ignore him. I focus on my pitiful self. So when you do that, you can feel in what you're doing. So this is why it's important that we understand that the enemy uses that more than anything he likes to get you and me off of trust in the Lord. Anyway, we have considered three objects of concern with respect to being spiritually vigilant. But there is a question as how a believer goes about ensuring it, or what are involved in being spiritually alert. The Holy Spirit, through the apostle, addressed this concern of how one carries out the vigilance, or what are involved in the spiritual vigilance, that is a means of holding one's ground in the spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual vigilance involves perseverance. Perseverance. Now, this is not easily, it's not easy to recognize because of the translation of the last clause of Ephesians 6 verse 18 that we're studying. Because he says, again he reads in the NIV, "With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." However, I've given you on the screen here the literal translation that reads, "And to this, keep being alert with all perseverance." That's the word that I'm focusing on. Perseverance. "With all perseverance and petitions for all the saints." Now, the literal translation implies that the last clause then of Ephesians 6 verse 18 is concerned not only with another means of standing firm in the spiritual warfare, but also with a manner of being spiritually vigilant. Now, this is because the word "with" in our literal translation, see, many of our English versions use the word "with" in their translation, but it may not be clear what is meant by such translation because of the various meanings of the Greek preposition used. For example, the Greek preposition could be translated "with" as a marker of manner in which an event occurs, as it is used to indicate the manner of declaring Jesus the Son of God in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. He reads, "And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." So here, translate "with." The Greek preposition may be translated "with" when the sense conveyed is as a marker of means or instrument. The use of the word wait, though meaning wait, may also serve as a marker showing attendant circumstance, as when the apostle posed a question to the Corinthians about the circumstances under which they want him to visit them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. He reads, "What do you prefer? Shall I come with you with a whip, or in love and with a gentle spirit?" So here is what the circumstance you want. That's what wit here has to deal with. Now the meaning wit as a marker of instrument is used with respect to how things were purified under the Levitical priesthood in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 reads, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Hence, we can see that because the word wit is used in a translation, does not tell us how it is to be interpreted. In the literal translation which I gave you, with all perseverance, the word wit is to be understood as indicating the manner of doing something. This means then that the manner of being vigilant, spiritually vigilant or alert, involves perseverance. Now, the perseverance, whatever it is, it has to be very intense. Now, this is because it is described with a Greek adjective with several meanings, all of which are reflected in Apostle Paul's usage in this epistle to the Ephesians. Now the word Greek, the Greek word used may mean whole, as it pertains to a high degree of completeness or wholeness. So that the apostle used it to describe Jesus Christ using a building metaphor in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. He reads, "In him the whole building." That's a Greek, same Greek word, pass. Here it's translated whole, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Now the Greek adjective may be used as a marker of highest degree of something. So it may mean something like all, full, greatest. So the apostle used it in this sense in his instruction in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2 reads, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Here the apostle intended to convey that believers are to show the highest degree of humility. so that the translators of the NIV render the Greek this way: be completely humble and gentle. Although, literally the Greek reads, with all humility and gentleness. With all humility and gentleness. But the order has that of the highest degree. That's why they said, be completely humble. Now, another usage of the Greek adjective pertains to everything belonging in kind to the class designated by the noun. Hence, means something like every kind of or all sorts of. As the apostle used it with that meaning of every kind of, to describe the moral degeneracy of unbelievers in Ephesians 4 verse 19. Ephesians 4 verse 19. Ephesians 4 verse 19 reads, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continuous lust for more. Now, another usage of the Greek adjective pertains to totality of something with focus on its individual components. So it means something like each, or every, or even any. As the apostle used it to indicate that any kind of talk or communication that is harmful to others should not come from your mouth as a believer. As in Ephesians 4 verse 29. Ephesians 4 verse 29. Verse 29 reads, do not let any unwholesome talk. We expanded this quite detailed when we studied it. So simply tell you, anything that comes out of your mouth that is going to harm somebody, don't let it come out. And you know what? How that can only happen? If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because most time when people, you know, go berserk, as they say, and all kinds of things start coming out of them, it's because they lost control. The Holy Spirit is no longer controlling you. So the only way you can be a person who will obey this, do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth. In other words, don't let words that will harm others come out of your mouth. The only way that will happen is if you're controlled of the Holy Spirit. In that way, you know what you say. See, when we're angry, we don't think. We just, whatever comes, well, that's what comes out. So this is the thing that he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Still though, another meaning of the Greek adjective concerns any entity out of a totality. Hence, again, the Greek word can mean every, or it can also mean any and every. Any and every. As the word is used in instruction to Christian wives with respect to their submission to their husbands in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Ephesians 5, verse 24. Ephesians 5:24 reads, now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Not something. Of course, we studied that in this. In everything. That's our Greek word here. The totality. Everything. Now, consequently, it is clear then, the Greek adjective has several meanings. So, these various usages or meanings of the Greek adjective used in connection with the word perseverance. As I said, you remember the literal translation I used, all perseverance. So it's that word all that I'm focusing to show you what it actually means in the this usage. Now, so the word is, as I said, is used in connection with perseverance. Now, so in the literal translation, its use raises the question to what sense the adjective is actually used in our passage. Again, the translators of the NIV seem to have given, I'm not sure, but seem to have given the meaning always to our adjective. Now, this notwithstanding, it is in the sense of a marker of the highest degree of something that it is used, as indicated in the standard Greek English lexicon of Bauer, Danker, and Gingrich. Now, they suggest that that phrase that translated literally should be translated this way to reflect what I've just explained, the highest degree. They say you should translate it with the greatest perseverance. With the greatest perseverance. Not all, but greatest. So it is because of this meaning we indicate then that whatever is meant by perseverance, that it should be intense. Should be intense. And that one should show that to the greatest degree possible. Now, be that as it may, then, the issue is how to understand the word perseverance. In the literal translation, again, because I put on keeping alert with perseverance. Now, the word perseverance is translated from a Greek noun that appears once in the Greek New Testament. It's one of those things we call hapax legomenon. That's a word that appears once in literature. It means, so the Greek word means firm persistence in an undertaking or circumstance. Hence, simply means constancy, perseverance, diligency. Now, constancy is one of those things that is good in a person. In other words, you are a constant. You know, somebody can constantly count on you about doing something, you're going to do it. That's part of it, but here really, you can also think in terms of diligence. So because the word appears only once in the New Testament, its meaning, though, is really linked to the related Greek verb, which its basic meaning is to stay by, or to persist at, to remain with. Now, in the New Testament, the verb is used with different meanings. When the Greek word is used with respect to persons, there are two meanings. It could mean to attach oneself to someone or something. Attach oneself to something. As it is used to describe Simon, the sorcerer, that became attached to Philip the evangelist after he preached and performed miracles in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Acts. And hold on to Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. It reads, Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. See that sentence, he followed Philip. It's more literally from the Greek, attaching himself to Philip. Now another meaning with respect to persons is to wait on, or to be faithful to someone. To be faithful to someone. Faithfulness, which of course we know is an important virtue in a Christian, as it is used to describe those who served Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 7. Acts. Chapter 10, verse 7. He reads, "When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants." Now the clause, "a devout soldier who was one of his attendants," is more literally from the Greek, "a devout soldier of those waiting on him continually." Waiting on him continually. So with respect to objects though, the Greek verb also has two meanings. It can mean to hold fast to, or to continue in something, or to persevere in something, as it is used to describe the continuance of the early church to listening to the apostolic teaching or doctrine in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Reads, "They," that is the early church, this is what characterized them in terms of the activities that they were involved in. Say, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship," and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see that sentence, "they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching," is more literally from the Greek, "they were continually steadfast," continually steadfast in the teaching of the apostles. And another meaning of the Greek verb, still with object, is to busy oneself with, to be busily engaging, or to be devoted to. Apostle Paul uses this second set of meanings three times in his epistles. It is with the meaning of to be busily engaged in something that the apostle used the Greek word to describe governmental officials in Romans chapter 13, verse 6. And hold on, of course, to Romans. Put your marker there. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. He reads, "This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing." Now that clause, "who give their full time to governing," is more literally from the Greek, "busily engaged in this very thing." Busily engaged in this very thing. Now the other two usages of the word by the Apostle Paul is in connection with prayer, with the meaning of to be devoted. Now, thus, he used it in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. He reads, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Now that phrase, "faithful in prayer," is more literally from the Greek, "being devoted to prayer." Now similarly, the apostle applied it in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, that we started previously. Colossians 4, 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He reads, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. See, the verbal phrase, being watchful and thankful, is more literally, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. Now, this is because the apostle used the Greek word that means to be alert or to be watchful. Now, we have then examined the Greek verb that is related to the Greek noun that literally means perseverance, constancy, diligence. So the question is how we should understand the word in the context of Ephesians 6 verse 18. Now before we get to this though, we should know that some of our English versions translated the Greek noun as a verb. For example, the NIV translated it as keep on, while today's English version translated never give up. That's instead of saying the word, the noun perseverance, they say never give up. That's good. Now that aside though, there are two possible ways of understanding the Greek noun translated perseverance in our passage. We can understand it as a virtue to be maintained in cause of spiritual vigilance, or that it is a path of prayer. See, we can see it as something to be maintained in cause of spiritual vigilance, or it's connected with prayers. Now, many commentators take the position that perseverance in Ephesians 6 verse 18 is related to prayer, because the Greek verb related to the Greek noun that means perseverance is used by the apostle twice in connection with prayer. So they say because of that, that noun should be attached to the word prayer. Now this second view is one reflected in the NIV. Therefore, the translators of the NIV then connected it with prayer, so they have the translation, always keep on praying for all the saints. See, that's the way they attach it to prayer. Well, there are two possibilities, as I have said. Now, it seems though that the word perseverance is used in our passage in such a way that it applies both to being spiritually vigilant and to prayer. It's not just to prayer, but it applies to vigilance in spiritual life and to prayer. Now, this means then that the apostle intended to convey that the manner of being spiritually vigilant involves perseverance, in which the believer is to be alert constantly to ensure that he or she recognizes the things that the enemy of truth control to the believer to cause such a person to become victim in the spiritual warfare. So it should not be difficult to understand this point if we recognize few facts with regards to the subject of perseverance. There are just a few facts we need to know. First, perseverance may be developed in the believer through suffering. See, perseverance can come through suffering, as we can gather from Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It reads, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because, here's the reason, not because, you know, it's enjoyable, it's because we know that suffering produces perseverance, makes you unwavering. Second, perseverance is a virtue that may be commended. Now, we can see it in a person. You can see it. Does the apostle, Paul in this case, commends the Thessalonians for their perseverance in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 reads, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. In other words, it's not difficult to know that a person perseveres in the faith, in suffering. It's not difficult. It can be seen. Because if it couldn't be seen, why would the apostle boast? It's something he observed. So we can observe this in our fellow believers. Third, perseverance is that which results from faith. In other words, we're saying that this ability to persist, to be constant in things, is that it can come from faith. This is according to James chapter 1, verse 3. James James 1 verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now so, what it is, if you are tested and you pass, what that does is it gives you an added level of being able to wait patiently, knowing that the God who saw you through whatever you went through before will see you through whatever you're facing now. So you become, because you now become, you're able to persevere. You don't get shaken up. You become steadfast, knowing that this God that you trust in never fails and will never fail you. Fourth, perseverance is a virtue that is to be in the believer, as the Holy Spirit states through Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Second Peter. Now this 2 Peter 1:6, it's been a long time, but when we studied it, there were 9 things that we went through and so on, a little more than that. But I said all of those are the same thing as being filled of the Spirit. Same thing as the fruit of the Spirit given in Galatians. So here, we begin with, say, unto knowledge, self-control. Unto self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. So we do know that these are things, I mean this particular perseverance is something that can be in us, and definitely you will have it if you're control of the Spirit. So this fact then suggests that perseverance is a standalone virtue that describes the way spiritual vigilance should commence. In other words, if you are vigilant, if you persevere, that means you're going to be constant. You're going to be steady. No matter what it is, you don't move from what you believe. No matter how the enemy tries to rattle you, you stand firm and say, no, I know whom I trust. So this fact then should remind us again that we are dealing with a virtue. Nonetheless then, which is standalone, perseverance is also a necessary virtue in prayer. Because you see, you have to persist in prayer. You ask the Lord, do this for me. It doesn't happen. You continue. And you keep persisting until he makes clear to you one way or the other. So that's why I say It can be connected with prayer. So the point is that the apostle probably didn't use the word, translated perseverance, in such a way that we should recognize that it applies both to being spiritually vigilant or alert and to praying. That is to say that what we've talked about being vigilant, alert, that you must do it, you must be constant about it. Never giving up. Never quitting. Every moment, keep your eyes on it. I don't care. I mean, we live in a world of reality. And the scripture deals with the world of reality which we live in. That what that means is every moment of my waking up and you the same thing, that God the Holy Spirit expresses this out of us. This is why I keep emphasizing it, that you are a Christian 24/7. Not only when you're in church. You are a Christian everywhere that you are. Therefore, you must reflect that. So what you do, if you really understand what I'm talking, some of you will understand what I'm saying here. If you treasure your testimony, because I have said many, many times, there's nothing you have on this planet more important than it. If you treasure it, you must be vigilant to keep it, to watch it, so that, you know, people around you will always see that. Always. So this is the thing that we are being asked to be vigilant, to persist, to keep our eyes open. When I say eyes, I don't necessarily mean your physical eyes, it's just everything about your mind. Since the enemy attacks us in the mind, we have to constantly be alert. Think before you act. Don't be a very rational person. Just act quickly. You need to think gradually to know that you are being alert. And say, well, now what's this enemy trying to do here? What thought is he putting in my mind? I know sometimes in a battlefield, people don't remember all that they training. That's different in the spiritual life. The enemy wants to let us forget that. So what you do is you be sure that you are alert, watching carefully, being vigilant, that you don't lose or sell or short the thing that you own, which is your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So be vigilant in being able to defend that. So in any event, it is then necessary for believers to be persistent and consistent in their spiritual alertness in order to be successful in the spiritual warfare. Let's pray. As we end our study this morning, there may be someone here or someone listening over the internet. The issue for you is you're still dead, although you're a religious person. But you don't have life. That means to say, if you die now, you go to hell. But here is the good news. The fact that you are here or listening over the internet means that God loves you. So that he's giving you the information of how to come out from this danger of being in eternal destruction to where you can spend eternity with him. And he did that out of his love. He demonstrated it because in a meeting that we don't know anything about, that took place in eternity, the three members of the Godhead decided that the second member, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come to this planet and that he was going to take on a human form and come and live among us and be taunted and endure the hardship, the pain of living among sinners. We just don't know what he endured to live among sinful people like us. Yet, he endured all that. Why? Because he loved us so much that he didn't care what it cost him to go and die on that cross for us. And he suffered. Yet, the human suffering was nothing. Because as we know, they flogged him with the kind of whips that once they hit, draw, blood comes out, ripping up the flesh. And he didn't cry, he didn't scream, he didn't complain. Even when they nailed him on the cross at Golgotha, he never complained. But the last 3 hours, when my sins and your sins were being judged upon the Son of God, at that point, we can say all heaven turned away from the Son of God. The Father, the Holy Spirit, both turned away from fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 hours. It was so unbearable. It's a darkness that we can't understand. That's why Jesus Christ later that cry in Aramaic, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken that you may have life. How? The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." What are you to believe? Again, the Bible says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing in Him, you have life through His name. If you trust Him, you will have eternal life. If you believe He died on that cross, rose on your behalf, you will have all your sins forgiven, and you will be given God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, that will qualify you and give you eternal life, both of which you must have in order to spend eternity with God. So all of these are coming your way by faith. On the other hand, if you reject, my friend, you are already on your way to a misery, an eternal one. It's not like a prison here you come out. This is where you go, and for all eternity, you'll be in an awful situation. Escape it through faith in Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will cause us to be very vigilant in our spiritual warfare. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. The meeting begins right away.